Hello, my friend. This is Clyde. Trending in the right direction. Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 through 26 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." Let me ask you a favor. This text is taken from a wider piece of a scripture, which runs from Galatians 5, verse 13 through to verse 26. Could you read that passage, please? You are going to be blown away by the superb lesson that the writer dropped on you, totally useful for the 21st century child of God. Trust me when I say you're going to enjoy it, but even more than that, it sends you a simple message, very clear. You might not realize, but you are trending in the right direction. Well, actually, let me clarify that last statement. The writer is addressing brothers and sisters, people like himself who are members of the family of God. He makes a statement that arrests your attention. You have been brought into a freedom that calls for responsible living, which in turn will afford you the opportunity to enjoy the freedom. He makes some big statements that are just in your face. He states categorically, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." The past couple of days, I have been watching videos of track and field events from all over. In many cases, after the event has ended, trackside journalists get to interview the winners. Invariably, these athletes will comment on their coach. That ranges from, "I just came out here and did what my coach said and I got the victory." Or another one who said that she's now going back to sit with a coach who will have lessons on how to improve her performance. Paul, the man who wrote this section of the Bible, says that if you live your life based on what the Holy Spirit teaches, you will overcome the issue of the flesh, which brings me to the text. It says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another." He states a truth, but he states it in relevant language. The minute you became a follower of Jesus, you dispensed with, got rid of, discarded the old ways and behaviors that are associated with the flesh, with its passion and desires. In case you're wondering, here is a list of its passion and desires: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Can you recognize anything in that list that was a part of your life before you became a Christian? Of course you can, and not only you, but me and anyone who now belongs to Jesus. But all of that lifestyle and practice, list of practices, were crucified when you first became a believer. Well, what next? The writer says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What is he talking about, Clyde? Didn't he just say that these passions and desires were crucified? This means that those old habits don't stay dead. Well, that is true, but there is something that you and I and others have discovered. The flesh doesn't leave, but it comes back at odd times. Are you saying that the things of the flesh that you listed above can come back? Are you serious, Clyde? Yes, they can come back, and sometimes they come back and shame you, hurt you, mess up your psyche. So what should I do? The fact that you asked that question indicates how engaged you are in our conversation. What's the secret? Walk in the Spirit. Or as the text says, keep in step with the Spirit. Mind you, I am mindful that right now, as you are listening, that you are genuinely buying into the story and you do want to keep trending in the right direction. Well, it's time to reveal the big secret. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you're keeping in step with the Spirit, then sooner or later people will see the difference. The writer describes this huge difference like this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. I knew you would get it. Let me spell it out for you. When you became a believer in Christ, the old lifestyle filled with acts of the flesh, life is full of those. Those went away. But now he's making a backhand tip to you. Don't lose knowledge of what you used to be. Rather, set your mind to walk in the Spirit. When you start walking in the Spirit, it becomes a different game. You start producing spiritual fruit, and that spiritual fruit is that list that starts off with love, joy, peace. It then goes deeper, forbearance, goodness, faithfulness, and rounds it off with faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you know that the first and last items in that list of the fruit of the Spirit are pretty tough? Let us talk about love. Life in the Spirit does not allow you to be picky who you love. Rather, you are commanded to love everybody. Don't you just hate to admit it, but you know that it is difficult to do what the text says, that we should love everyone. Then we go to the other end of the list where we see the final piece in this great fruit called self-control. If you say that you don't have a problem with self-control, then you need to call a workshop to teach the rest of us how to be strong as you are. But all joke aside, if you are experiencing less and less of the ways of the flesh, and you're showing more and more pegs of the fruit of the Spirit, then you, my friend, you are trending in the right direction.